Good morning, and thank you for coming for Rabbi Sachs's Part 2 Hanukkah Shir. This morning, the Shir is being sponsored by three families, Deborah and David Kahn and family in memory of Shmuel Eliyahu ben Achaver Naftali HaKohen, Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer and family in memory of Achaver Naftali ben Meir Zal and Rachel Bas Yisachar. And the third sponsor is Stephanie and Saul Lightman in memory of Yenta Bas Avigdor Aleha Shalom. Rabbi Sachs.
I wanted to continue discussing that very sugya in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis that deals with the various levels of fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Gemara tells us that there are three different tiers regarding the fulfillment of this obligation. The first is Neri Shuvesa, simply to have a single candle per household per night. The Gemara tells us Mahadrin is Ner Lechalechad V'Echad, the number of candles which correspond to each member of the household. Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin is that the number of candles that you light correspond to the given day of Chanukah. And of course, the machlokis between Beis Hillel and Bais Shammai, whether one lights in an ascending fashion, the view of Beis Hillel as we do, or whether you light in descending order, the view of Bais Shammai. What this means, halach l'mais, in terms of the Rishonim, are three possibilities lahalacha that hinge on two different questions. Question number one is the following. When the Gemara tells us that mid-view, that mahadrin means ner lechol echad ve'echad, candles corresponding to each member of the household, exactly what does that mean? The Rambam writes in Perek Dalet Hilchos Chanukah the following chiddush. Only a single person lights the neros Chanukah. This is even true on the level of mahadrin and mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. The question simply is the following. Kama neros hu madlik? How many candles do you light? So whereas the Ikar Mitzvah is simply one candle per night, the Rambam understands ner lechol echad v'echad means the balabayis lights the number of candles k'minyan anshei beiso, corresponding to the number of people in the home. If it is a family, the Rambam's example of 10, that means the balabayis lights 10 candles each and every night. Interestingly, when the Ramah presents the salachon tafresh ayin aleph of mahadrin means ner lechol echad v'echad, the Ramah writes it in very different terms, what we're much more familiar with. Not that the balabayis lights the number of candles corresponding to each person in the house, but rather each person in the house lights independently. Ikar mitzvah, one person lights per household. Ner lechalecha v'yachad means, in the Rambam's case, 10 people in the home. Not that the balabayis lights 10 candles, but each individual lights a single candle. Machlokas number one. The second issue. When the Gemara tells us the ideal form of fulfilling this mitzvah, mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, does that circumvent that mid-step of mahadrin, or does that imply both mahadrin as well as mahadrin min ha-mahadrin? Tosus raises the following point. Shabbos daf chaf aleph amud beis. What is the purpose of mahadrin min ha-mahadrin? We assume, of course, like the view of Beis Hillel, that we light in ascending order, either because of Ma'alin v'kodesh v'lomoridin, or else because keneged yamim hayotzim. But the entire purpose, Tosas comments, is that the number of candles that you light should correspond to the particular day of Chanukah. One candle, the first night. Two candles, the second night. After all, as Lavush explains, the more the candles continue to burn, the greater the nes in Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, for that reason, we light in that ascending order. Tosas comments, that must be obvious. That must be nikar. That must be apparent. And therefore, Tosus writes, you cannot subscribe to both mahadrin as well as mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. Let's assume, for example, you try to accommodate both views. So that means you have four people in your home, the fifth night of Chanukah, you're going to light 20 candles. Someone will look in your home and see 20 candles that are burning. They'll be clueless in terms of mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. Maybe it's the second night of Chanukah and you have a family of 10. Maybe it's the fifth night of Chanukah, family of 4. And therefore, Tosa says, if you will argue that everyone lights, you are defeating the purpose of Keneged Yam HaYotzim, Yam HaNechnasim. And therefore, Tosa writes, the ideal form of Hadlaka simply is one Menera per household, lighting corresponding to the night of Chanukah. That is what Tosa writes, Shabbos Tav Chaf Aleph, Interestingly, that is the psak halacha of the Mechaber, Tafrei Shayin Aleph. Whereas usually the Mechaber follows the Shita Sarambam, here the Mechaber deviates from that norm, assumes as the view of Tosfos, one menorah per household. Anyone who comes will look at the number of candles burning and tell you it is the fourth, fifth, sixth night of Hanukkah. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes, we're obligated to accommodate both Ner L'Cholechet B'Echad, as well as Neros Kiyam HaYotzim, Yawim HaNechnasim, the day as well as the number of people in the house. The Rambam gives you his hand-on example. You have a family of 10 individuals. It's the last night of Hanukkah. The Rambam writes, the Balabayis lights 80 candles. You look in that home, you see 80 candles that are burning. You have no clue as to what night of Hanukkah it is. The Rambam is not disturbed by that fact. There is no halacha that the Neros must somehow exhibit the fact that this is the first, second, third, or fourth night of Hanukkah. So therefore, halacha lamaisa, three different views in terms of the ideal way of lighting. The view of Tosus, Mahadran mina Mahadran, a single menorah per household, lighting one, two, three, four candles, depending on the night. The view of the Rambam that no, you have to accommodate both views, but all of this is done by the Balabayis. The Balabayis lights every single candle that is burning, the number of people times the night of Hanukkah. And the view of the Rama that no, Ner L'Cholechad V'Yachad means every person lights individually, corresponding to the prescribed night of Hanukkah. So in that family of 10, eighth night of Hanukkah, according to Tosus, one menorah. According to the Rambam, the Balabayis lights 80 candles. According to the Rama, each person, all 10 light their own menorah of 8 candles. And interestingly, here the Rama assumes the view of the Rambam, also deviating from the normal approach lahalacha, assuming that you must accommodate both Mahadran as well as Mahadran min HaMahadran. There is a known comment of the Brisker Rav in Hilchos Chanukah that questions what is that machlokas between the Rama and the Rambam. They both agree fundamentally that you have to accommodate for both Mahadran as well as Mahadran min HaMahadran. Why is it though that the Rambam writes that the Balabayis does everything? He's the one who lights 80 candles, and the Rama writes that is not the case, that each individual lights their own menorah. Brisker Rav explains the following and uses Bris Milah as a model. Very often, the Torah tells us we're obligated to fulfill a given mitzvah, and then as the Gemara explains in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, there's a concept of Hidur Mitzvah, based on the pasuk that we read each day in our davening, Zeh Keli Vanveyu. How is it that Kaviyachol we beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Gemara quotes two different possibilities. One is the view of Abba Shaul through emulation, Ani Vuhu. We emulate the midosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other is hisna lefan of the mitzvos. Perform mitzvos in a beautiful fashion. That is the kiyum of hidur mitzvah. This doesn't only apply to Ner Chanukah, but rather it applies to mitzvos generally. And therefore the Gemara gives you the example of Bris Milah. Technically speaking, in order to have a kosher Bris Milah, all that is necessary is to remove most of the orla, most of the foreskin. Removal of all of the foreskin, all of the tzitzin, even she'ein makvin es hamila, that is not essential for a kosher mila, but that is considered to be an act of hidur mitzvah based on zek keli vanveyu. So a further model, ikar mitzvah, and then hidur mitzvah. The Gemara tells us the following chiddush: Shabbos kuf lamed gimel, hamal, a mol who's performing the mitzvah bris mila, kol zman shehu osek b'mila, as long as he is now continuing to perform the mitzvah, chozer afilo hatzitzin she'ein makvin es hamila. He continues and he removes, as our moalim do, all of the foreskin. Not only that which is technically essential minimally, but all of the foreskin of that child. What happens if Piresh? What happens if the moal stops, he withdraws the knife? Then only chozer al hatzitzin hama'akvin es hamila. If he didn't yet do a proper bismillah, of course he has to go back and remove more. However, once he stops, he does not continue if all that remains is just the tzitzin she'ein makvin es hamila. So for the ikar mitzvah, obviously he must continue and perform the bris, but not for the purpose of hidur mitzvah. What exactly is the issue of the Gemara? What's wrong with continuing and performing the entire bris milah even after interruption? So Rashi adds, and that's Sugya Shabbos Kuflam Gimel, one very important word. This is found in Maseches Shabbos. We're talking about a bris milah on Shabbos. Bris milah is doche Shabbos. Even though this is a melacha daraisa, nonetheless the Torah tells us of Yom Hashmini Yibo Besaralasa, only a milah bismana, not a milah shalo bismana. It's very unclear in the Rishonim what melacha bris milah is, a topic of another shir, but clearly bris milah is an act of chilul Shabbos, but the mitzvah bris milah bismana is doche Shabbos. So I understand. A mole is performing the mitzvah of milah on Shabbos. He does so in its entirety. He doesn't simply perform that which is minimally necessary, only remove the foreskin which is absolutely vital, but rather he's allowed to remove all of the tzitzin, afilu shena makvin es hamila. What happens, for example, if the mole stops, the mole withdraws? Is he allowed to continue if the bris milah was not yet performed? Obviously continues. But if this bris milah was done, and all that remains is hidur mitzvah, the mole cannot continue and engage in the act of chilul Shabbos just for the kiyum of hidur mitzvah. That's our Rashi. Rov Rishonim understand that Gemara. What would that mean, lahalacha? The mole stops now, comes Sunday morning, the mole will continue and remove the balance of the orla that he was unable to do because it was a bris milah on Shabbos. So the Torah already comments that when the Rambam presents this halacha in Hilchos Milah, the Rambam does not qualify as referring to a bris milah on Shabbos. The Rambam writes, this is true always. A mo'el continues and removes all of the orla, but if the mo'el should stop, if pirish, then eino chozer ela letzitzin hama'akvin esamila. Otherwise, he does not continue. So what is the problem? I understand Rashi's view. This is a chilul Shabbos issue. But why should you argue on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that if the mo'el stops, you no longer continue? The Briskrav explains the machlokis is as follows. The Torah tells us we're obligated to perform a mitzvah, and then the Torah insists that kelim vaveyu to do so in a beautiful fashion. Are those independent mitzvahs that can be split off? You can have an interruption between the ikar hamitzvah and subsequently fulfill the hidar mitzvah? Or should one argue that no, the two mitzvahs must be fulfilled bevasachas in tandem simultaneously? At the moment that one is fulfilling the mitzvah, you are to do so be'ofen hamahudah, in the most beautified, dignified way. But you cannot fulfill the ikar mitzvah now, and then later on fulfill the hidr mitzvah. It's quoted by Shem Reb Chaim, just the following example. Let's say on Sukkot, a person has two esrogim. One is absolutely beautiful, it's stunning, but it may not be kosher. It may be murkav, it may be grafted, it may have been cross-planted. The other one is vadai kosher, but it is not mehudah. You don't have to choose between one or the other. Take both. Which one should you take first? So Reb Chaim argued, for example, as follows. If a person will take the one that is absolutely kosher, in such an instance, the mitzvah is already fulfilled. And therefore, if 5 minutes later he'll take the one that is beautiful, even if it turned out that that esrog is kosher, the mitzvah was not fulfilled with that second esrog. The mitzvah already came to an end when he took the one that was vadai kosher. If you take the one that is beautiful but suffek posel, then at least you have a chance. If that esrog was kosher, you fulfill the mitzvah that way, and then your safety net is only afterwards. Because once the mitzvah is fulfilled, can you go back and now perform the mitzvah of zek keli vanveyu? Biskarov explains, according to Rashi, absolutely yes. You can't do it on Shabbos because of a chilul Shabbos difficulty. But come Sunday morning, fulfill the obligation of hidur mitzvah. The fact that yesterday on Shabbos was the ikar mitzvah, today on Sunday then is the hidur mitzvah, that according to Rashi is acceptable. And that's how the Ramah assumes lahalochi as well in Reis Samach Dal of Yerodeya. The Rambam, whoever maintains that's not true, the hidur mitzvah must go hand in hand with the essential fulfillment of the mitzvah. One cannot have any interruption between A and B, and therefore even during the week, once the mitzvah has come to an end, there is no longer a kiyum of hidur mitzvah. Briskarov explains this is the machlokis in Hilchos Milah between the Rambam and the Ramah, and Lashitos say this is the machlokis when it comes to Ner Chanukah. What is troubling the Rambam? The example of the Ramah, that the Ikar HaMitzvah is one candle per house. Good. And now Mahadrin is Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. The Ramah means that that requires that everyone light individually. What happens in that situation? Perhaps one could argue, we'll see soon, somewhat unclear, that the first candle which is lit, that is the Iker Mitzvah of Neri Shubeso. And now subsequently, someone else by lighting individually is fulfilling Mahadrin of Ner Lechalecha V'Echad. Can that be that person A is fulfilling the Iker Mitzvah, subsequently person B is fulfilling the Hider Mitzvah? Or does one argue that no, the Hider Mitzvah and Iker Mitzvah must be performed hand in hand simultaneously? Just as the Rambam writes, when it comes to Hilchos Milah, that the two Kiyumim must fall B'Vasachas simultaneously, the same thing is true when it comes to Ner Chanukah as well. The one who performs the Mitzvah, he does so in the beautified fashion. So therefore the Rambam explains the whole discussion of the Gemara. How many candles? It's always Kama Neros Hu Madlik. How many candles does the Baal HaBayis light? He is the one who is fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in discharging the obligation of others. But if the Ramah allows for separation between Ikar Mitzvah and Hider Mitzvah, therefore the Ramah writes that no problem. One person can light the single candle, and the second person will light his own candle as Mahadrin. This is what is known as the Chiddush of the Brisker Rav in linking the Sugya of Bris Milah with that of Ner Chanukah. A few ha'aras, perhaps, that one has to discuss in light of this beautiful Chiddush. Number one is the following. The whole assumption, then, is what is true of Ner Chanukah is also true regarding the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Is that the case? Does one have a right to assume that Mahadrin and Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin in Chanukah is the halacha b'chol ha-Torah kula of Hider Mitzvah? After all, we have a halacha when it comes to all mitzvahs, zekeh and vaveyu, to do so in a beautified fashion. And then there is a particular takana that this applies to Ner Chanukah. Is that the same halacha, or are these two independent halachas? Perhaps one could argue that, you know, Hider Mitzvah and Ner Chanukah is not the same halacha as zekeh and vaveyu b'chol ha-Torah kula. Even intuitively, when it comes to Hider Mitzvah in the most broad sense, the Torah does not give us, nor the Gemara, a formal prescription for Hider Mitzvah. The Gemara just tells us, perform mitzvahs in a beautiful way. The Gemara gives us a cap, a limit. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kama Daftes that ad shlish, Hider Mitzvah should only be up to a third. A person is not obligated to spend 100, 200, 300, 400% of the base mitzvah in order to fulfill that additional element of zek keli vanveyu. Unusual. When it comes to Ner Chanukah, the Chachamim give us much more than the kivun, the general direction of zekeh vanveyu. The Chachamim with precision tell us exactly how Mahadrin and Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin is to be fulfilled. Ner lechol echad v'echad, or kiyam hayotzim, yam hanechnasim. It would appear that Mahadrin and Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin, for any reason, as we'll see soon, is part of the takana of Ner Chanukah. And even if one would assume that when it comes to other areas, Zek Kedem Aveyu is extrinsic, but this seems to be an essential part of the root mitzvah of Ner Chanukah itself. Perhaps even an obvious indicator. As mentioned, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama and Daf Tes, when it comes to Hider Mitzvah, Ad Shlish, one-third is the cap. Is that true when it comes to Ner Chanukah, or the Rambam's case? 10 people in the house, it's the 8th night of Chanukah. The Iker Mitzvah is one candle, and Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin requires 80 candles, even though the Gemara says the minimum of Hider Mitzvah is a small increment, but the cap, the maximum, is Ad Shlish. That certainly is not true when it comes to Ner Chanukah. There, Hider Mitzvah takes on an exponential form of how much a person is obligated to spend in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hider Mitzvah. And therefore, perhaps one could argue that one cannot equate what is true of Bris Milah to the cases of Hider Mitzvah. Even a further raya. In that very case that we mentioned of Bris Milah, a person, according to the Ramah, performs only the Iker Mitzvah of Milah on Shabbos. Comes Sunday, he realizes, you know, that there is some of the foreskin which is still left. The Ramah says, remove it on Sunday. You still have the kiyum of Hider Mitzvah. Do you recite a bracha on Hider Mitzvah? The Ramah is explicit. In Reisam Afdal of Yerodeya, no bracha can be recited on Hider Mitzvah. The bracha is on Bris Milah. The bracha is not on Hider Mitzvah. What about when it comes to Ner Chanukah? This is a major issue in the Achronim. Can one recite a bracha on Hidra Mitzvah? This is Tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger in Siman Yud Gimel. This is what the Magen Avram discusses at length as well. Perhaps in principle, one could recite a bracha on Hidra Mitzvah for Ner Chanukah. After all, one possibility in Rabbi Kiveger is the following. If it's true that all you need is one candle per household, so let's assume the Balabayis lights, and then afterwards the rest of the family light, when they light, what are they fulfilling? The Ikar Mitzvah? Or are they only fulfilling Mahadrin? If one should argue that all they are fulfilling at that point is Mahadrin, but yet everyone recites their own bracha, isn't that an indicator that a bracha can be recited on Mahadrin? Or Rabbi Kiveger discusses the following case. It's the fifth night of Chanukah, but the person thinks it's only the fourth night of Chanukah, and he lights four candles. And all of a sudden later he realizes his mistake. There should be five candles. Keneged Yom HaYotzim. If he will not light five candles, he's doing so because of Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Do you recite a bracha or do you not? That's what Tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger and Siman Yud Gimel. And very mistaber to argue that even if you assume B'chol HaTorah Kula, Hidra Mitzvah does not warrant a bracha, that's because the Hidra Mitzvah is elastic. It's not defined. The Chachamim didn't tell us it must be performed only in this given way. When it comes to Ner Chanukah, where the Torah tells us exactly how it is to be performed, that is the Takanas Chachamim, in such a case one could argue, in fact, that there is a bracha, as many poskim assume, even on Hidra Mitzvah. Even a further issue, that assumption of the Brisker Rav, that if one person lights, and then a second person will perform the extended halacha, that is a hefsek in between Ikar Mitzvah and Hidra Mitzvah, is that really the case? Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Chos Shabbos in Shin Lamed Aleph that even when it comes to Bris Milah on Shabbos, our practice always is to have a single Moel. But the Mishnah Berurah entertains the possibility that Moel A can perform the Ikar Mitzvah and Moel B can perform the Hidra Mitzvah, and as long as that was the mindset, that's not considered to be a hefsek. The case in the Gemara means where a person performed the mitzvah bris milah and then stopped, then there was a hesek hadas, there was a lapse, and then continued to do so. These are some ha'aros that the renowned Rav in Yerushalayim, Rav Asher Weiss, pointed out that one could raise regarding this chiddush of the Brisker Rav. Is there another option in understanding then the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramah and Tosis, and how you understand this entire scheme of Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin? Perhaps their views relate to a very basic question. Vikar Hadin, one candle per night per household, Ner Ishu Beisa, Mahadrin, Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad. How do you understand the Ikar Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? And how do you understand then that shift of Mahadrin that requires an extended halakha? I'll give you two possibilities in the Ikar Mitzvah of Ner Ishu Beisa. One possibility is the following. Ner Chanukah is a Chovas HaPrat. It's a Chovas HaGavra. Each individual is obligated to light. Each individual is obligated to make Kiddush. Each individual is obligated to read the Megillah. Does that mean, in common sense terms, bottom line, I must make Kiddush, I must read the Megillah? We have vehicles that allow me to discharge the obligation through others, Shomea Ka'one, Yatzamotzi, sometimes Shlichus. The Torah allows for opportunities that I can fulfill my individual chiyuv through another. Maybe that's true when it comes to Ner Chanukah as well. In principle, Hadlokas HaNeiros is a Chovas HaPrat, a Mitzvah Shebeguf, and therefore, in principle, everyone is obligated to light. It's just that I can discharge my obligation through the Balabais, who is lighting on my behalf. That's one possibility. Second possibility is very different, that it is not a Chovas HaPrat at all, but rather it's a Chovas HaBais. Bais not meaning the structure, the mortar, the bricks, the sticks and stones. Chovas HaBais meaning the base of the Mishpacha, the family unit, the household, lights a single menorah. Not that each one of us must light, and one discharges the obligation through another, but essentially Chanukah is considered to be a Chovas HaBayis. The base of is obligated to light. Let's assume, for example, we discuss the Mishmaros, the rotation of the Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash. What is the function of the Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash? Look, This group is in charge of the avoda for this week, for this day. You, this Beis Av, must see to it that what? All of the kudshim, the karbanos, are offered. All of the kudshim are eaten. Is that a chovah saprat? Each kohen individually is obligated to do so, and you can discharge the obligation through the various kohenim who happen to serve? Certainly not. The obligation is that the kudshim must be offered, the karbanos must be eaten, and therefore that is the responsibility of the Beis Av of the kohenim. And therefore, when one kohen does so, it's not that he is discharging the obligation of the other kohen individually, but rather in the collective sense, as long as the karbanos are offered, as long as the kudshim is consumed, that is the kiyum of the mitzvah of akravas karbanos, or the obligation of achilas kudshim. Perhaps the same thing is true when it comes to Ner Chanukah, not a chovas haprat, but rather a chovas habayis. That's how the Rambam in Perek Dalef Hilchos Chanukah presents the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, not as a chovas haprat that each individual is obligated to light, but rather the mitzvah is to have a ner doluk b'chol bayis, that each home must have an Ner Chanukah that is burning. Perhaps, as mentioned, one could disagree and argue that no, in principle, each individual is obligated to light. A step further. Even though Ikar Mitzvah, one menorah per household, one candle per night, Mahadrin is ner lechol echad v'yechad. What does that accomplish? Well, if you assume that Ner Chanukah is a chovas haprat, a chovas hagavra, even though Mikar Hadin, true, everyone has to light, but I can discharge my obligation through another, he can light on my behalf. So therefore, you know what Mahadrin tells us? That no. Comparable to what the Gemara tells us in Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph, mitzvah bo yosei b'shlucha. Even though technically speaking you're right, you could discharge the obligation through another, but we want your active participation. Rather than fulfill your mitzvah via someone else, you yourself should perform the mitzvah individually. Maybe that's the Chiddush of Tosfos. No? That's why what does in fact Mahadrin mean? This is what the Rama writes. Ner lechol echad v'yachad does not mean how many neros does the Baal HaBayis light, but rather what do we mean ner lechol echad v'yachad? Each person should light individually. Mikar Hadin, everyone is obligated to light. Whereas the Ikar Hadin allows for one person to discharge the obligation of another, Mahadrin means everyone should actively participate. That makes sense if you view Ner Chanukah as a chovas haprat, as a chovas hagavra. Then you could argue everyone should participate, and that is Mahadrin. The kiyum of Mahadrin, that hidur, is a hidur which is essential. According to the Rambam, perhaps one could argue very differently. If the Ikar HaMitzvah is simply a chovas habayis, to have a candle which is burning in the house, so how then do you understand that jump of Mahadrin, that a person should go ahead in light simply corresponding to the number of people in his home? Perhaps one could argue as follows. This is the Chiddush of Rav Asher Weiss, that very often the Gemara will tell us this. Even though minimally, a person could get by with performing mitzvah in this way, the Chachamim wanted to embellish. And very often the Gemara will ask that hani kineged mi. A person davens a Shmon Esrei, sometimes 18 brachos, 19 brachos, 7 brachos, 9 brachos. The Gemara raises in Maseches Brachos that hani kineged mi. What was the correspondence? When Chazal instituted the halacha, they didn't do so in an arbitrary way, but they always did so having in mind, right, a particular message, a particular goal. Maybe that's the Chiddush. The mitzvah of Hidur mitzvah when it comes to Ner Chanukah is simply ribui neros. Even though, technically speaking, one candle is sufficient, the Chachamim said that one should have tosefes. One should have more candles that are burning. So, how do you quantify that? What do you mean by more candles that are burning? The answer is kiminyan anshei beiso. Like, for example, corresponding to the number of people in your home. Not that it's a chovas hagavra, that every person is obligated to light individually, but rather the expression of ribui neros is corresponding to the people in your home. I came across a beautiful ravia. The ravia writes, Ner Shabbos. Where did the minhag come from? That women light candles and they add a candle for every child that they have? the Rav Yair writes that Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad of Ner Chanukah. Right? That, like the Rambam writes, that the Balabayis lights corresponding to every person in his home. What does that mean? That Ner Shabbos is a Chovas HaGavra? You'll go to Shul and your wife will be Motzi, everyone in the house? No, even though technically speaking, all you need is a minimal Hadlaka for Ner Shabbos, but there's a Kiyum of Tosefes Neros, Ribli HaNeros. So how many candles do you light? 5, 10, 20? The Minag is light corresponding to the number of people in your home. And where is its source, Rav Yair writes? That's the Kiyum of Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad. That's the Rambam Shita. It doesn't mean that the Mahadrin on Shabbos is every person in the house lights a single candle. It means that when the women bench lich, they light corresponding to that number. In fact, there's a beautiful Chiddush that the Ritva writes. The Ritva tries to prove the Rambam Shita, Natsugin Shabbos Nav Chapalot. How do you know that Mahadrin min Mahadrin is built on Mahadrin? That you have to accommodate not only the number of people in the home, but also the day of Chanukah? That's the Ritva's kasha. Maybe, as Tosus writes, it's enough simply to have a single menorah. The Ritva writes the following Chiddush. The whole purpose of Mahadrin, and Mahadrin min Mahadrin, is to have ribui neiros, additional candles. And therefore, why is Mahadrin min Mahadrin better than Mahadrin? Let's assume in the Rambam's case. Good, 10 people in the house, right? A large family. So what would Mahadrin mean? 10 candles per night. And if you assume as Tosus, what is Mahadrin min Mahadrin? One candle the first night, two candles the second night, three the third night. The Ritva writes, according to Tosus, what's happening? Mahadrin min Mahadrin means you are lighting less candles than you would have with Mahadrin. How can that be? If the whole purpose of the Hidur is to have ribui neiros, so therefore you are not lighting necessarily more for Mahadrin min Mahadrin than Mahadrin. Unless you assume, as the Rambam's view, that Mahadrin min Mahadrin requires that you do both. The number of people in the house times the day of Chanukah. That's the Raya of the Ritva. That of course you have to accommodate two views. Because otherwise it could very well be that you are lighting less candles for Mahadrin min Mahadrin, according to Tosus, than you would have otherwise lit for Mahadrin. And what is the whole purpose then of the Hidur Mitzvah? The answer is ribui neiros. That's an essential machlokus between the Rambam, right, as opposed to the view of the Rama. With this in mind, you can understand the next point of Tosus and the Rambam. What is troubling Tosus? That isn't it clear that the candles must represent the night of Chanukah, and that must be absolutely apparent. You have to walk into someone's home, see a number of candles, and immediately be able to tell you, this is the first, second, third night of Chanukah. You walk in the Rambam's case, 80 candles, you have no clue. That doesn't trouble the Rambam. No, the fact that it must be Nikar. But according to Tosus, it does. You understand very well. Tosus understood that Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin was not just simply, as we call, ribui neiros, just simply lighting additional candles, but rather each one was a marked and essential takana. Just as, for example, that Mahadrin means Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad, not to simply one person discharge the obligation of others, but each person light individually, the same thing is true when it comes to Ner, corresponding to Yotzim, Nichnasim, that is essential, that's part of the Pirsum Hanes, and that must be apparent. The Rambam understands that no, that is just simply, as the Gemara says, K'neged me. If we want to embellish the Hadlaka, how do we do so? The answer is that Tosefes Neiros, corresponding to what? Corresponding to the people in the home, corresponding to the given night of Chanukah, but it is not essential that that be so obvious that someone can walk in and tell you this is the fourth, fifth, or sixth night of Chanukah. Perhaps this is the basis of the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosus, with many different ramifications as well, whether essentially Ner Chanukah is considered to be a Chovas Habayis, or whether it's considered to be a Chovas Hagavra. Why is it, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, as we explained, that Hidur Mitzvah plays such an important role? Hachan Mitzvahs generally do so in a beautiful fashion. But here the Chachamim prescribe specifically Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Minha Mahadrin. Why is all of that necessary? There is a beautiful Chiddush that the Chacham Tzvi writes. This is also found in Pnei Yeshua, in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph, where they argue as follows. The whole nes of Ner Chanukah the need to find the Pach HaShemen and the fact that it continued to burn for 8 days seems somewhat perplexing in light of the following halacha. We understand very well that the Shem in the Beis HaMikdash largely was Tameh, and therefore inappropriate to use that for the purpose of Hadlokas and Eros, and therefore the Nes of Hanukkah, that Shem in Tohar was used throughout the entire duration of these days. The fact that something becomes Tameh, is that problem insurmountable? Or somehow, lahalacha, can we deal with that difficulty? So the Gemara tells us in Yuman Daf Vav, in Sanhedrin Daf Yabez, that there is a vehicle to allow avoda to continue even betuma. This is what we call tuma hutra or tuma dechuya betzibur. The Torah tells us as an exception, Karban Pesach, if everyone is tameh, rov of bnei Yisrael, all of bnei Yisrael is tameh, then you know what the Torah tells us. Let's not offer the Karban Pesach right now. Let's have an additional month which is added, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, and then we'll avoid the problem entirely. If not, the Karban will be offered betuma. Good? If a Yachid, however, is Tameh, then you know what? He can defer to Pesach Sheni. But when it comes to the Avodas HaTzibur, then Tumah is Hutra, or Tumah is Dechuya B'Tzibur. If all they had was Shemen that was Tameh, couldn't the Avodah Hadlokas Neros have continued nonetheless? So the Chacham Tzvi and the Pnei Yeshua writes, absolutely. If they would have not come upon that Pach Shemen, or if the Nes of Chanukah would not have occurred, therefore it's true, the next day they would have used the Shemen that was Tameh for the purpose of Hadlaka. And yet, Kadosh Baruch Hu performed the Nes not to allow for utilization of Shemen Tameh, but to see to it that the Shemen Tohor continued and burned. So the Pnei Yeshua and Chacham Tzvi write the following Chiddush. Me'ikar Hadin, the Nes was not necessary. But in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakan Beis HaMikdash, Ba'ofen HaMahudar, in the most beautiful fashion, without relying on Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, the Nes of Chanukah occurred. That means the entire Nes was not in terms of the essential Ikar Mitzvah, but all in the plane and the realm of Hidur Mitzvah. And that is why the Chachamim instituted Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin as part of the specific reference, the structure of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. There's a beautiful teretz that Rav Yosef Engel gives. It's found in Gilyonei HaShas, in Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. I've mentioned in the past the following observation. When you look in the parshios of Truma, Tetzav, and continuing throughout the second half of Sefer Shmos, what is the purpose of those parshios? Binyan HaMishkan. The Torah tells us all the details of how to construct the Mishkan, and subsequently the V'chein Tasu as a mitzvah l'doros, the details of Binyan Beis HaMikdash as well. And yet there's something striking. When you look throughout these parshios, the Torah not only mentions how to construct, but the Torah mentions, albeit very briefly, the avoda, what avoda should be done in the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to have a mizbeach, you offer karbanos. You're going to have a shulchan, lechem haponim, a menorah for the purpose of hadlakas and eros. A simple question. In those parshios, where the theme is not avoda, the theme is binyan hamishkan, why is it so necessary for the psukim to emphasize the avoda? Good, the Torah is telling us that you should realize I'm commanding you to build A for the purpose of B, but why is that so essential? If you're not so disturbed by that question, why is it necessary to mention avoda? So a more pointed question. The Torah tells us in Parshas Tetzaveh, you're going to build the Mizbeach. And what is the purpose of the Mizbeach? To offer a Karban Tamid. That's difficult. No? That's the purpose of the Mizbeach. To offer a Karban Tamid. A Karban Tamid is one of the Karbanos that you offer. But why is that singled out in the Parshios of Binyan HaMishkan? So twofold question. Why is it necessary to mention avoda altogether? If you want to know what karbanos to bring, you look in Sefer Vayikra. You want to know how to light the menorah, look in Parshas Baloscha. Why is it necessary in Sefer Shmos, which is the blueprint, to tell us the role of avoda? So the answer is the following. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Shavuos, in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin, Daf Yud Zayin, the following Chiddush. How is it that one is Mekadesh the Klei Mikdash? How is it that each one of these kelim attain kedusha? So the Gemara comments as follows: Kol ha-kelim shasa Moshe mishichos and makadshin. When Moshe Rabbeinu made the kelim for the Mishkan, how were they infused? How were they endowed with kedusha? Mishicha b'shemen ha-mishcha. They were anointed, and therefore they had the status of klei ha-mishkan. What about mikan ve'elach? What about future generations? They didn't have the shemen ha-mishcha. How is it that the kelim were able to attain that elevated status of kedusha of klei ha-mikdash? And you know what the answer is? Avodasa mechanchasa. The avoda was mekadesh. The Gemara tells us the following chiddush. These parshios, Truma, Tetzav, is not only Binyan HaMishkan, but V'chein Tasu, the Gemara tells us, Ledoros. This is a mitzvah Ledoros. The Rambam's diuk, not Vosli Mishkan, Vosli Mikdash. It's a mitzvah Ledoros of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. How is it that you construct a Beis HaMikdash? Number one, you have to create the Kelim. But number two, you have to be Mekadesh then. How are you Mekadesh the Klei HaMikdash? The answer is the following: Moshe Rabbeinu, Meshicha b'Shemen Hamishcha, Mikan ve'Elach in subsequent generations, Avodasa mechanchasa. The use of that kli is the mekadesh. That means the following chiddush: that avoda has two halves to it, two halachos. Number one, there's a mitzvah of avoda. When I light the menorah, when I use the mizbeach, number one, it's a mitzvah of hadlakas aneros, a mitzvah of hakrava sakrabanos. But more than that, the avodah is also a mekadesh. That is what infuses kedusha. That is what makes it a menorah. That is what makes it a mizbeach. And therefore, one could suggest the following: why is it in the parshios of Truma Tetzaveh the Torah mentions avodah not because of the mitzvah of avodah, but rather because avodah is necessary to create the klei hamikdash, avodasa mechanchasa? If that's true, I'll tell you beautifully. When it comes to the Mizbeach, you build the Mizbeach, you offer many karbanos. But which karban is mechanech, is mekadesh the Mizbeach? That is only the karban tamid. And that's exactly why the Torah tells us in Parshas Tetzaveh, you're going to build the Mizbeach and offer a karban tamid. I'm also going to offer a karban shlamim and a karban musaf. Why karban tamid? The answer is, we're not interested in telling you the mitzvah of hakravas hakarbanos. That we'll get to in Sefer Vayikra. We're interested in telling you avodasa mechanchasa. That is only through karban tamid. That's why the Torah singles out that particular karban. It's a fascinating concept that avodah and Beis HaMikdash has two halves to it. Number one is a mitzvah avodah, but avodah also is a mekadesh. The first time the kli is used, that is mekadesh the kli. Rav Yosef Engel writes the following chiddush. It's true. When it comes to the mitzvah of avoda, you're right. B'di'evet, a person finds themselves in a situation where, you know what, you can't perform the avoda properly, and therefore you have to do it right, with elements of tumah. You're right, at times that can be done. Tumah hutru, tumah duchuyi b'tzibur. His chiddush, however, is the following. Bituma, you cannot accomplish that second goal of avodasa mechanchasa. The first time the kli is used for the purpose of avoda, that must be done ba'ofen hamahuda. That is essential for avodasa mechanchasa. Where do you see that this is true? He gives you a couple of examples. Example one is Parsha Shmini. The Torah tells us that various se'irim were offered, and the Torah mentions v'hine saraf. It was necessary to burn the seer of Rosh Chodesh. It couldn't have been offered al gabi hamizbeach. Rashi writes in Parsha Shmini, what was the problem? During the days of the Miluim, that particular carbon became tamei, and it was necessary to burn that particular carbon. Good, but Bali Atosus asks, it's found in Mikros Kedolos, Daskim Bali Atosus. Why is that true? That tumah is hutcher, tumah is duchuyah betzibur, you can offer a carbon even betumah. Yosef Engel writes the following, that's true, but you can't be mikadesh the Mishkan Bituma. And what was the purpose of the days of the Miluim? Not just simply a mitzvah of avoda, but the karbanos that were offered during the inauguration of the Mishkan. That was for the purpose of Tosefes Kedusha. That cannot be done Bituma. The same thing he quotes, the Ran writes, in Rashi Daf Yud Gimel, The Gemara is bothered by the following. Bnei Yisrael, when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, and they first offered the Minchas HaOmer, no, the Daf Yomi Sugi is of this week, where did they get the new Tefuah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Minchas HaOmer? I understand subsequent years they were able to reap and harvest, but where did they get it the first year? Chidush Iran, Rosh Hashanah, Yud Gimel is bothered by a simple question. Let's say you can't find Tefuah in Eretz Yisrael. So you can bring Tefuah from Chutz Laretz, B'dievet, for the purpose of the Minchas HaOmer. So what was the whole question that the Gemara was raising? Now, how is it possible to fulfill the mitzvah of the Minchas HaOmer if they just entered Eretz Yisrael? Where did the Tefuah come from? Chidush Iran writes, B'dievet, you can bring Tefuah from Chutz Laretz. So in a similar vein, the Ran answers exactly this point. How can it be that the first time in history that the mitzvah was performed, it was done b'dievet with tefuah from Chutz Laretz? In the course of the years of avoda, sometimes there's an extenuating condition, the halacha accommodates for it. But the tchilas avoda, the first time it's done, or in mikdash, that which serves as a mekadesh, that cannot be done both in b'dievet. At this past Shabbos, many talmidim were with me in our community. So I stressed with them that sometimes a person can get by in kiyum ha-mitzvah with a minimal performance of the mitzvah. Technically, you're yotze. But every mitzvah, every act of Odas Hashem, has two different elements to it. One is simply the kiyum ha-mitzvah, but the other is asher kirishonu mitzvah sovet zivanu, kadshenu mitzvah secha. Every opportunity to fulfill mitzvah Hashem is a basis, a source of kedusha, kadshenu mitzvah secha. And even if, technically speaking, a person can get by and perform the mitzvah in its skeletal form, but nonetheless, you will not be able to attain that heightened element of avodasa mechanchasa. The extent that it has in terms of infusing kedusha, that will be tempered. That will be significantly minimized. It's not just simply we try to do mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion in terms of the kim ha-mitzvah and the schar that we receive. But its Tosefes Kedusha is something which is abundant if the mitzvah is done in its most pristine form. If Yosef Engel writes, that's why it was necessary to find this Pach HaShemen. In the course of hundreds of years of Avodah, it may very well be that sometimes the Avodah must be done Betumah. But you can't be Mekadesh the Mizbeach or Mekadesh the Menorah in such a fashion. And therefore it was necessary to do whatever was possible to find that single Pach HaShemen, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu performed the nes to see to it that even throughout the subsequent days that the mitzvah was done in that way. It's one of the important aspects of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and the celebration of Chanukah in general, to realize that at times Hidur Mitzvah and Mahadra Min HaMahadra is not just simply as a mitzvah namuchar, but sometimes it has the essential characteristics of the mitzvah itself. Or Sameach writes that a person who is impoverished generally is exempt from mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs of Pirsumei Nisa, he's obligated to beg and borrow, to be chozer l'psachim, to see to it that you fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, for example, Ner Chanukah. Or Sameach is daik in the Rambam that doesn't only apply to one candle per night, but it's necessary to borrow, to beg, to fulfill the mitzvah of Mahadrim in a Mahadrim. That has the elements of the Ikar HaMitzvah. And perhaps in that sense, that's different from Hidur Mitzvah B'chol HaTorah Kula. Even if you assume in other areas, that is a secondary, extraneous kiyum, not true when it comes to obligation of Ner Chanukah itself. And Bezras Hashem, one of the mitzvahs that we should glean from Chanukah is the importance of not just simply Ikar HaMitzvah, the importance of fulfilling every mitzvah and every aspect of Avodas Hashem Ba'ofen Hamahudar, to realize that aside from the particular schar and kiyum mitzvah itself, the importance of avodas mechachasa, avodas Hashem as a mekadesh for our own mitzvos, and certainly for children, for our family, when they see that we go that extra mile in terms of kiyum hamitzvah, that speaks of the boundless love that we have to the Torah Hashem, and the fulfillment of not only ikar but mahadrin and mahadrin and mahadrin as well.